Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome to Food for the Journey. We look ahead now to the readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Let me begin by saying this to you. At the end of this program, you'll hear information and announcement about how to access my materials. But I want to point out particularly Hope in the Midst of Suffering, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, and the CD From Death to Life are available to you. The pamphlet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, you can call the 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can just call that number and get the free booklet. But if you go to renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net/FFJ, you can get both the free booklet and my CD for purchase, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. So pamphlet, go to the 800 number that I give at the end of the program. If you would like to take a look at the CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives, you can access and purchase that through renewalministries.net/FFJ. I will give that information at the end of the program as well. Let's take a look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 to 14. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. I will bring you back to the land of Judah. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may live. I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised and I will do it, says the Lord. You will rise from your graves, brothers and sisters. So live life so that when you experience that death, and you are raised from the dead, that it is to heaven, it is to God forever and ever and ever. That's what you want. Please make the decisions that put you on the right path. Psalm 130, with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, the depths of sin, the depths of fear, the depths of depression, depths of discouragement. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. If you, O Lord, would just look at our iniquities, Lord, none of us could survive, but with you is forgiveness. So I trust in you, Lord. My soul trusts in your word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn. Let Israel wait for the Lord. Make Psalm 130 a prayer this week for yourself. Take a look at it in the scripture, Psalm 130. The letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 8 to 11. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, because you've been baptized, brothers and sisters. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ because of sin does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit dwelling in you. This is true, absolutely true. Can we accept the truth and put our lives in line with that? Living knowing that I will face a judgment at the end of my life, knowing that heaven is there, heaven is real, and it's for me if I choose to follow him forever. The Gospel of John, this is a long gospel. I'm going to do my best with it in the time. I'm going to try to do something different about this next year, but for now. Now, a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters of Lazarus, sent word to Jesus saying, Master, the one you love is ill. And when Jesus heard this, he said, this illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. He didn't go to them. He loved them, and so he waited. Why? Because he was going to show his glory by raising Lazarus from the dead. Only when they were convinced that Lazarus was dead would they realize the miracle, and would all the people around them recognize the miracle. So sometimes when we experience grief and we wonder where God is and why is God not acting, he's working on getting us all in the place to show us a greater miracle. After this, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. He said this and then told them, our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him. So the disciples said, Master, if he's asleep, he will be saved. But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. He's giving them a sign of the resurrection by raising Lazarus. He's trying to build their faith because he's about to undergo the crucifixion. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Look at that faith. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. And Martha said, well, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus must have smiled. And he told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into this world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, the teacher's here. He's asking for you. As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, and she said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's real faith. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled. His heart went out to see them suffer so much. God is with you in your suffering. Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. This was his good friend, Lazarus. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again. You see the difference here between faith and lack of faith. So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his voice and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me, that God hears every word, brothers and sisters. Keep that in mind. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. I think I would have fainted. I've never fainted in my life, but I think I would have. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him. Untie him. Let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. Can you imagine that scene? Picture yourself in that scene. Where would you have been? I might have been saying, why didn't he come sooner? He's their friend. Why didn't he leave wherever he was earlier and come? He should have been here. If he had been here, this would not have happened. Others, still disbelief. I can attest, well, I certainly can't attest, but I can imagine that there were, when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," I can imagine there would have been people in that crowd laughing, mocking, ridicule. They were there for the show, but they never expected a miracle. Think about it. Where would you be in this picture? It should give you a good idea of how strong your faith is or how weak it is. Don't be worried about that. God will supply. The important thing is that you acknowledge where you would be in that scene. You might have been the skeptic. You might have been the one who mocked. You might have been the one saying, "Oh, Jesus, do it, please do it, please do it, please do it for them." You could have been that whole spectrum. Where would you have been? I'm not sure I would have been able to believe that Jesus would work a miracle after someone was dead for 4 days. If he was going to work a miracle, wouldn't he have come back earlier? He didn't come back earlier in order to both test and reward our faith. Think about that. I think that all of us need to grow in faith, grow in trust of God, grow in trust of his word. But you can't grow in faith unless you know him better. And you can't know him better unless you spend time in prayer, unless you spend time in his word, unless it becomes the most important thing in your life. Because your relationship with God is ultimately the most important relationship you have. And it can govern and supply and inspire and aid every other relationship you have. So you want your relationship with God to grow. And it's going to grow by time spent before the Blessed Sacrament, by time spent in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, by the study of his word, by praying with his word, by seeking to live his word, by asking God for the grace daily to live the truth of his word. If you take those things on, you're going to find, you say, "I'm so busy already." Don't do that. Put first in your life what is first in God's heart, which is his relationship with you, and everything else will find its proper place. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.